Forgive me a minute while my kid cries and I set up here. We wanted the people who are out in the parking lot to be able to enjoy the song service, so I took one of these off. So that way they didn't have to hear me sing. I either look like I'm ready to preach or for surgery, one of the two, but no, I appreciate your patience, your prayers, Lord, just the reception that you give my family and I every time we come in. We are truly, truly unworthy of all the love, but we love being here, folks. I just can't put it into a better way. Psalm 27, with that in mind, it is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, isn't it? And I tell you what, if you're out there today and you're out in the parking lot, we wish you were here, but we understand why you're there, and you're a part of it. It's good to be here, whether you're listening in over the radio or you're in the room, it's good to be here. We ought to go to church, amen? Now, I say that to you, but you're here. how often do we tell people, get into church, are you coming to church? Hey, you missed last week, everything okay? You doing all right? Oh, you guys were sick? All right, we're praying for you. You know, we think about the importance of church service. But one of the things to consider among many when we look at church service is what we're doing here. And that's a question I would pose to every single last person in this room. What specifically are you doing here today? Now, we're not talking physically. What ministry are you doing? What are you participating in? But what's your intention on being here this morning? Are you at church this morning because it's Sunday? Or this morning, this afternoon? We're well past morning, aren't we? Are you here just because it's time? I appreciate you folks changing your schedule just to accommodate our drive. It means a lot to us. It definitely makes things easier. But is it because it's 2 o'clock and it's time to go to church? Is it because there's family obligations? You don't want anybody to get upset at you? You don't want to feel guilty? We know that we ought to be in church. We've no doubt said it often, but why? What are you getting from this afternoon? Are we still getting something from being here? If you're not, I think I can help. You see, like most problems that we can have, the problem starts in our hearts. Our intentions for walking through the door will affect what happens when we get in here. And it starts right there at the song service as we get together and we sing. It affects our prayers as we sit together and we pray as the prayer requests are put out. And I tell you what, I take prayer requests very seriously. They ought to be something that we remember, something that we go and we talk to the Lord about, right? It affects our attitude during the preaching. It affects our conversations with each other, the why we are here. Folks, if you're here this afternoon, I would pray that your purpose for attendance would be because God means so much to you. It cannot be because you want mom and dad or you want the rest of the church to think well of you. It cannot be because it's part of your schedule. It must be a matter between you and the Father when you walk through those doors. Jesus Christ ought to be the reason you are here today. Psalm 27, verse 4. I'll give you a second to get there. Psalm 27, verse 4. And it says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to be here. Lord, for giving us the health, the well-being. Lord, the gas in our cars, the vehicles we can put a key into. Lord, all the blessings you've given that make our attendance possible. Father, I pray this, that our hearts and minds turn to you, and the Lord, they stay there for the remainder of this week. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. What we see in this passage of Scripture, I'd like to dial it back to verse 1. And it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Verse 5, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." Are you here because of the Father? I would pray so. There is not a thing that can happen in this world that the Father cannot directly affect. And when we are here together to praise His name, to be taught, to be fed, to be educated, all the things that we come together for, when we are here for Him. I tell you what, there's a lot of fallibility in man. We were joking down there about the kids and their behavior. And I jokingly said, well, I'm the worst of them all. I am. I'm the most fidgetiest. I'm the loudest. I really am. You know, you think about a pastor or a preacher as they get up, stand in the lectern. You know, they are a fallible person. That is why you teach a pastor and a preacher to hang so tightly to Scripture, because there's where the infallibility is. I tell you what, when I stand up here, when I preach the gospel, when I open this book, it is about the Father. And that's the way it ought to be, right? If I'm sitting in my chair and I'm watching the news, you know, there's going to be some bad news in there, isn't there? You ever just kind of feel a little bit of stress while you're watching television? You see stuff, but a lot of folks, they may not sit in front of a television anymore to get their news, but either you're scrolling or you're flipping, you're going to catch some bad news. But here in the Father's house, we gather strength. We gather good news. We gather education. We gather support, not only from the Lord, but from each other, where we can sit there and together we can share our woes, we can share our struggles, and one brother can chime in. You know what? I had that same trouble with that sin, and I'll tell you what, this is what I did. This is what the wife and I did, and we took care of this problem, and we have that here together. What I love about this passage of Scripture is it tells you what to expect in the Lord's house. What we see, number one, is that the enemy fails in the Lord's house. The enemy fails. Now you think all week the enemy is trying, the devil, this world, your flesh, they are trying to separate you from God. Yes, even your own flesh. Do I want to do this? I don't know. You teach yourself to kind of go off of your whims, and your whims will get you in trouble. There's a reason why whims and whimsical go so closely together, because that's what it is. Oh, well, if I had the whim to, if you go by every little thing you think, you're going to find yourself in trouble. You're going to find yourself 900 pounds. You're going to find yourself sitting in front of the TV all the time, giving into that flesh, giving into that lust. But what we need to do instead is we need to get into God's house where the enemy fails. Now, how is it that the enemy fails in these walls? Well, I tell you what, it's what's being preached. It's what's being taught. It's what we are standing for together. It is how we strengthen each other, how the Scripture strengthens us, how the Lord strengthens us. Verse 2, as we see, "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell." You know what this world wants without even being able to admit that they want it? They might not even know themselves. They want your mind so corrupt with nonsense, with the things you see on a reality TV show, with the things that they say society is. They want you so ate up about it, you're of no spiritual use. That's what they want. They want you so wrapped up in the politics. They want you so wrapped up in all the little things there are to get distracted of that you are useless sitting in your pew right now. They want to take your ability to focus away. They want to take your desire to serve away. Now, would they naturally say that? No, but I tell you what, if a church shuts down, they sure do rejoice. There'll be one less person knocking on my door. That'll be one less people talking about Jesus and all the oppression that they think comes with Scripture. And isn't that so weird how the world sees the freedom that we have as see it as bars in a cage. Well, you can't do this and you can't do that. You know what? A lot of the stuff that the Bible tells you not to do, those are bad things anyway. They really are. I told somebody one time in high school that I don't smoke. You know, it was a big thing in my family. A lot of the people on my dad's side of the family, they smoked. My brother smokes, and they thought it was a really big deal. And I said, well, the Bible tells me not to, so I won't. And they thought of that. Well, you live your life by those rules. Well, I remember being 18 years old, waking up, and my dad nearly passing out for having hacking up a lawn. To me, that does not scream freedom. When these people are out there and they wake up on a Saturday morning from drinking on Friday night, they can't remember half of their day. All they know is they spent hundreds of dollars and they can't remember. That doesn't sound like freedom to me. You want to call that oppression? I'll take me some of that. In this house, we are free from that. We don't pass ugly billboards when we're in this house. We don't have the world blaring at us, this sin, that sin, this is acceptable, this is not acceptable, here's some politics, here's some scare tactics, here's how the government should be running every little thing you do. That doesn't exist in this house. And praise the Lord for it. In these walls, we have our respite from what's going on out there. And folks, your house ought to be the same way. Your house ought to be the same way. It's where we go, where we can take off our spiritual masks, so to say, that filter where we keep everything that the world would use to taint us out. We see that they can't beat him. We also see verse 5, one of my favorite verses. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. I'll get myself in trouble. You ever get yourself in trouble? I was on the way here this morning. I got myself in trouble. I have a hardest time driving with people who do not know what they're doing. Now, to me, I've been a Michigander for my entire driving life. Right? I know the rules. Right? You don't speedily tap on the brakes. You don't lose your lane. You keep it. Now, sometimes in Michigan, lanes are what we've driven on already. Right? Sometimes they get a little bit fuddled in the snow. But you don't tap on your brakes, you stay in your lane. We came up on somebody, they were breaking both of my rules. They were tapping their brakes, they were between two lanes. All right, the most dangerous place you could be in a snowstorm is doing that. It wasn't really storming out. And I got to losing my temper. Hard to lose your temper in the house of the Lord. If your heart's right, I'll put it that way. If your heart's right, it is hard to lose your temper in the house of the Lord. There is not the temptation to do those things. At least there ought not to be. You know, I talk about and I pick on corporate churches all the time, the different things that they do to seem as worldly as they possibly can, to please the flesh as much as they can, disregarding Scripture, disregarding the Lord and His opinions. They just do things that feel good. And I pick on them and I berate them. I'll tell you what right now, we ought not to have those things in the Lord's house. If they befuddle the line between sacred and secular, we ought not have them. For this purpose, that we may be hid here. Now, I'm not saying that we cower from the world. I'm not saying that we cower from life. What I am saying is that there is temptation out there, and we hide from it in here. During these hours that we have together, we can enjoy and relax. We can enjoy and relax. It gets to the point where you can't even watch television anymore without the mute button sitting next to you. Used to be you could at least, you know, relax during the commercials. Now you can't anymore, right? And forget trying to watch television with the kids. You just can't do it. There's just so much on there that everybody says is perfectly okay. And before you know it, your kids are learning to cuss and swear and say all manner of things. And they're learning biology lessons they ought not be having, right? But in here it is about the Lord. In here things are the way God would have them everywhere else. The world cannot corrupt us here. The devil cannot distract us here. James chapter 1, verse 12. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away. Look at this right here. When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. I say all these things about how safe the house is, how comfortable we can be in the house. But folks, if we bring trouble in, if we have trouble in our hearts, we no longer have that safety. You know, think about why it is that we social distance, why it is that we keep each other so that things do not become communicated. And I tell you what, I'm glad I got the test. I'm glad I started showing symptoms when I did, because our next stop was here. And that would have been very scary for me to take something awful and bring it into this congregation. That would have broken my heart 1,000 times. What if? Now let's take that connotation, let's put it into sin. If I'm out there watching who knows what, if I'm not careful with my internet use, if I'm flippant with how I entertain myself, and I show up behind this pulpit, I can be just as dangerous spiritually as I would be physically. And that goes for each and every one of us in this room. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that we get distracted during church. I'm sure nobody here ever gets distracted up here during church, right? What is it that distracts you normally when you're sitting there? You thinking about your bills? You thinking about what you're cooking? You think... Most often the flashes to our minds are the things that would pull us away spiritually. If we are enticed in and of ourselves, if we distract ourselves with what we've done before we got here, then yeah. Right? If you're coming in and maybe you're upset with your spouse or the kids aren't being behaved and you come in riled up, you're going to have a hard time that morning. You're going to have a hard time that night. Let us make sure that we leave those temptations at the door so that while we are here, we can do that word I said, that's relax. Number one, we see the enemy fails in the Lord's house. Number two, the child exhales in the Lord's house. This place is for us to grow. This place is for us to come together. It is for us to laugh. It is for us to smile. I tell you, I'm not entirely sure how y'all, was that your grandbabies up here? I hate to call you. I'm sorry, I hope I don't embarrass you. But that was so sweet. And I tell you what, in 20 years, when one of those girls is sitting behind a piano playing for a church, we'll remember that. If we're still here, we'll remember that, right? We think about how important that is. That warm your heart, that smile, little girl sitting next to her grandma, playing praises to the Lord. I'm so sorry. Please, I hope I don't embarrass anybody, but I don't want to do that. But we have that here. Taking young people and teaching them to serve and praise the Lord. Us together, with our collective experiences, with our collective minds, the things that we all can do, our different levels of expertise, us coming together and praising the Lord. That is a beautiful thing that we get to partake of. And I tell you what, it costs a whole lot less than any bar trip or club or anything like that. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing, and the benefits far outweigh anything you can get from anything else in this world. In this house, our spirits can rest, but they can also be challenged. They can also be excited and encouraged and brought together. I've often said this, and I'll always stand by it. If we were to just take us, could you imagine anything on earth that would ever bring this group of people together? With the different levels and walks of life and statuses and places in life that we all are, there'd be nothing that would bring us all together. Only the Lord could get us together. Only the Lord could bring this group under one roof. It is here, verse 4, we see where we behold. The first thing that we see in this verse is that we be to behold His beauty. That's what the psalmist wanted. He wanted to behold the beauty of the Lord. When you're in your songbook and you read that sweet poetry, when we're looking through Scripture, we behold the beauty of the Lord. If you're here and you're saved today, the Lord took a dirty, no account, old rotten sinner, and He made him a brand new creature. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? That's one of the beautiful things of the Lord. And He did that. Every time we see each other, that's a beautiful thing that we see. Now, I may not look all that beautiful on the outside, but what the Lord has done to us is a beautiful thing. I want to see some sinners who love the Lord so much because He gave them so much. Forgave them for so much. That's what I want to see. It breaks my heart when we have to be away. It's just a horrible thing to not be in church. But, when we're here, and we could see each other, and we could share burdens, and we could just love each other. Verse 4, we saw that he also wanted to see his face. Let's look at verse 8 together. We haven't quite made it that far yet. It says, when thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. When you're reading in your Bible, when you're praying, is it your desire to get a glimpse of the Master? You think of all the people in Scripture. There wasn't many who got to see portions of the Lord. And in many ways, as we look through Scripture and we pray, we only get to see portions of Him ourselves. We get to see a bit of His personality. We get to see a bit of His reactions, a bit of His mind. And you just compare the mind of the Lord when we see Him speaking and we see His plans and we see what He knew and how He shaped not only His churches, but how He shaped the children of Israel. Knowing things that science had not yet stumbled upon. When we see that, it ought to bring us to awe. There is a very beautiful, beautiful piece of the Lord in every scripture, every verse you read. And we've got, to me, it ought to be our desire to see it. We ought to desire to see it. When we walk through those doors, Lord, what are you going to do today? Are you going to visit somebody else's pew with some conviction? Are you going to hit me with it this Sunday, Lord? How is it that brother so-and-so is doing? You know what, sister so-and-so, she's had this prayer request for a long time. Maybe this Sunday is the Sunday I hear something about it. I want to see what you're doing, Father. Oftentimes when you see someone going through trials, as much as we focus on the sad parts and the things, the to-do list that's going to get them out of that trouble, the things that they're going to have to do or the issues, the medical treatments, whatever it is that they're going through, one of the things that get lost is the fact that you get to see God do something. You do. I mean, I wouldn't volunteer for trouble, but at least when you're in it, you get to see the hand of the Father. Now, sometimes you see that hand comforting the child of God through a hard time. And every now and then you just see a miracle happen. Someone that is struggling with something medically or somebody who is lost walking down the aisle. Maybe somebody who hasn't been to church in years coming back into the membership, repenting of their sin. You never know what God is going to accomplish. But we come here to behold it. We come here to see it. Verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. In this house we also learn. We learn. Now, whether you're teaching a Sunday school class, you're sitting in a Sunday school class, or you're up here preaching, the answer is always the same. You're going to learn something. Right? And I'll tell you this, just to let you get to know me just a little bit better. When I preach, I pick on somebody's sin. I do. And then typically it's mine. Typically I'll pick on my struggles. I'll pick on the things that I know that I have fought with. And I just trust that maybe some of y'all have the same problems. That's just what I do. And I sit there and I think about things where the Lord has taken me. And folks, learning is one of the main reasons why we're here. That's what it is. And not just that, but to get strength for the going as we take those things we've learned and we apply them to our lives. That's really what it is. Because you know what? At a particular point in our lives, if you're saved, you've come to the knowledge that you've made a mess of things. That through lies and through selfishness and through your own will, you've created problems in your life. So when we turn to the Lord and ask for forgiveness, part of knowing you need forgiveness is knowing you did wrong. And as we look at what the Lord, and He says, hey, this is the right way to do it, we look at that and we say, yes, please. I want to learn the right way to do it. Again, same if I were to go to a financial advisor, a medical doctor, and I say, hey, how do I fix this problem? I rely on their expertise. It's not self-defamation. It's not false pride or false modesty. It's going to someone who knows better saying, help. And that's what we do when we walk into this house. We turn to the Lord and say, my heart, my mind is open, help. And we get that together. We learn in this house. Verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We praise Him in this house. We give acknowledgement of what He does. That's what we do when a church gets together. We praise Him in full acknowledgement of what He's done in our lives. If I were to ask for folks to come and give testimony, no doubt there are many folks that could stand up and say, this is what the Lord has done for me this week. This is what He's done for me in the last decade. This is all the things He's done for me in my life. We could probably go on for days with that. God is so good that way. I mean, not only did He bother to save our souls, not only did He keep us in mind when it came down to His elect, but He continues to pour those blessings out. We sit in our warm homes and we have vehicles that get us great distances, small distances. God takes care of us. One minute you're praying that the Lord would remove an illness from you. The next minute you're up walking around the house feeling fine. That's how great God is. And we ought to tell Him. We were talking about just the differences between people during lunch and how the last year has brought so much separation from folks. Oh, that we would not find ourselves separate from the Lord. That we would allow ourselves to come together and praise God for all the great things He's done. The words, thank you, I appreciate you, I love you. We cannot lose those words amongst each other, and we should never, ever forget those words to the Father who has given us the most. I mean, many of us, we gushed over sweaters, socks, and ties over the last week and a half. Oh, that we would be tenfold to the Lord for all He's given. Not that I'm saying there's anything wrong with those things. You look nice today. You really do. But, folks, God's house is a place where we praise Him. We tell Him how great He is. I tell you what, I look over here and I do, even though I'm up here, I look down at my kids, make sure they're behaved. How you guys doing? I watch them. Now, there was a time in my life I was told I wasn't going to be able to have kids. And I look over there and I remember that. We praise the Father. We praise the Son. We've been given so much. We see that the enemy fails in the Lord's house. We see the child of God exhales in the Lord's house. What a way to put that artistically. Number three, the Father presides in the Lord's house. This is His house. This is. And it goes beyond just, you know, us making sure the kids aren't running around in the auditorium and making sure things are clean and we make sure that we take a bath before we come in here. It goes beyond just those things. This is the Father's house. What an amazing place to be able to go. You think about it. You want to go worship Buddha, you're going to need an airplane to go visit His house. You can still visit His grave too. I guess that's fun for some folks. I prefer my Lord to not have my Lord's grave to be empty. But you think about those who worship Muhammad. Their God has a grave. My God has no grave. His Son lives in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and I have His house to go to. Amen. Where we spend time with His children, where the family all gathers together in His house. That's a blessing. That's a gift. To be able to say that we're there. And that promise we see in Scripture where two or three are gathered, His Spirit is there. Now, of course, I can't sit there and say the Lord's sitting in this chair right here. We know that's not true. He's everywhere. But He's here with us today. He is in this room. We have that. And because we have that, if you'll allow me to hit rewind a little bit, 27 verse 1. Verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Thinking of all the things that God is to us, what do we have to fear in these walls? What do we have to fear outside of these walls? Nothing. Now, there are things that we should be given respect, right? I am not afraid of snakes, as in I'm going to run through the house screaming. But I'm not going to go over and see like, oh, come here. I'm just not going to do it. There are just things that would be a foolish thing to do, right? You pet your dog, you leave the lions alone. It's just the way that works. You don't bring spiders anywhere near me. It's just simple stuff. We don't have to be terrified. We don't have to be afraid. There are some things we want to have respect for, but that guttural, break-you-apart fear has no place in a child of God's heart. Because there's nothing that happens in this world that my Father is not in control of. Now listen, there will be moments where the flesh is weak and fear prevails. But what we remember is who is in control of that situation. Who it is that we serve. There should be no fear in this house. I've heard many people, they are afraid of the government, of a government body shutting a church down. You'll get that often where people will threaten the tax-exempt status of a Good Baptist church because of some of the stances that they take. They don't rent their church buildings out to weddings or whatever it is that they would have an axe to grind against, whatever. They're afraid of a government shutting the church down. Folks, I tell you what, if they put locks on our doors, whose basement we go into? No fear. Take the building, I don't care. I mean, I'll be upset. I'm going to fight you. But whose basement we go into? We ought not to have that fear. That's what they did in the beginning. Right? You don't want me meeting you in open? We'll meet in private. You want to show up and beat us? Thanks for coming to church today. That's the way that was. They had no concern. They had no fear. And you know what? I'm sure their hands trembled. I'm sure it made them a little bit nervous. But I tell you what, that's where courage comes in. And we push through. Now, I pray that such a thing would never happen in America during my time. But if it does happen, I would pray I would have the strength to fight. And I'll tell you what, in this house, there can be no enemy. There can be no enemy. Verse 2, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Why? Because it's hard for you to want to sing about Tennessee whiskey when I'm in here singing about Amazing Grace. It's hard for that song to get in here. The enemy can't tempt me with those things when I'm in here and my focus is to the Lord. Now, the beautiful thing is you keep that focus up all day, every day. That's a great thing, but it's a lot harder in here. And I tell you what, there ought not be enemies among us. I've seen situations, I've been in situations where the bitterness of the church members against each other and against their pastor ate it up. I was a member of a church down in Cincinnati one time. They're not together anymore, so I feel comfortable talking about them. There was a church member who pulled his wife out of the church and they went to another church. Why? Because the pastor would not start a softball team. Now, to many of you, you'd say, okay, well, brother, that seems really ridiculous. Don't let me forget that the church had about 8 members. Now, I'm not great at sports, but you need more than 8 folks, 2 of them on oxygen, by the way, to start a softball team. Right? You need a little bit more than that. Now, to me, in my mind, I'd sit there and say it probably had nothing to do with softball. It's just we come up with funny things in our bitterness. We come up with funny things in our lust. We always want to try to hang on to something ridiculous. But folks, I have seen bitterness. I have seen anger. I have seen people turn against each other. I would ask you this. If you're calling me to be your pastor, I would pray that we would fix those things before we move forward. Amen. I would. Now, folks, I don't know much about you. Please don't think that anybody's whispered anything. I don't know anything. But I've been there. Where there are entire pews people can't look at. I would pray that we would fix that immediately. Because we cannot have enemies in this church. You know, we think about the devil. We think about the flesh. We think about the worldly philosophy. Humanism really is what I would call it. I don't want to sit there and pit the individual humans in this world as the enemy, but the humanistic ideas, right? I pin it on them so hard, but you and I could be just as much of a problem in here. There ought not to be enemies in this church. There ought not to be enemies amongst ourselves. There ought not to be enemies from the pulpit to the pew, from the pew to the pulpit, or from the building to the Lord. There ought not to be enemies that way. Instead, what do? We approach it scripturally. We say, hey, listen, I ask for your forgiveness. Or, hey, listen, you've wronged me here. Please, let's discuss this. There ought to be no enemies in these walls. And because it is our Father that leads the charge, because it is our Lord who wrote the book, because it is Him that presides over this church as the head, verse 3, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Isn't confidence a good thing to have? It doesn't stumble on me often as a person, but it's good when you have confidence. I know that this is going to work out a certain way. And I'll tell you what, whenever I'm in a situation, I'll watch the mechanic, I'll watch the pilot, I'll watch the doctor, and if the doctor, the pilot, the whoever doesn't look nervous, I relax. It's when that person looks super nervous, I start to get a little concerned about what's happening. I was talking to my doctor, and I was actually the physician's assistant to my doctor, and she's sweating. And I'm talking to her, and she's looking really nervous and shaky and upset. And I call her Kendall. I go, Kendall, is everything okay? And, of course, this is over video, so I'm only seeing parts of her face. I just, are you okay? Am I okay? Like, how bad is this? Like is everything gonna like should I run? Like, do I need to call an ambulance? Well, she goes, no, I don't feel good. I go, okay. And then I stopped. I'm like, oh no, are you sure? Turns out half my doctor's office went out with COVID too. So that was an interesting thing. We were all sick together. But all joking aside, confidence is a powerful thing. Now, not confidence as the world would say, you gotta fake it till you make it. But folks, I know that what God tells me to do is going to pan out the way it is. I mean, I've said that 100 times today. What more confidence could we have? Listen, I don't have to worry about causing trouble if I'm focused on the Scripture. I don't have to worry about bitterness and anger if I turn to the Lord and I turn to the people and we make things right. We don't have to worry about those things. We have confidence in this house. As I'm sitting there praising the Lord, my desire being to be closer to Him, your desire is the same. I saw this really cool thing about church unity. That as us as members come together, it's kind of shaped like a pyramid. I don't know if you guys have heard this before. But we're all kind of laid out at first, right? We're all different. We're all from different areas. And as we get closer to the Lord, we kind of just get closer together by default. And I love that. See, we can have confidence amongst each other. We can have comfort amongst each other. We can have a family relationship together as we all get closer to the Lord. And we can relax in that. We can enjoy that together, right? Just the confidence of being together. We have confidence in our Lord, confidence in each other. And folks, we have confidence in our actions if they're based right here. Right here in Scripture. I'm pointing to the Bible, by the way, for those of you who are out there. I'm going to take us over to Psalm 122, verse 1. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. You probably have it hanging on your wall somewhere. It might even be hanging up on a plaque somewhere here. Psalm 122, verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. Folks, what's your heart like when you walk through those doors? I mean, it's a good verse, but it's also a test. How are we? And again, all of it comes back to what's going on here. Is my heart right? Do I have anger? Do I have bitterness? Am I distracted by work? Am I upset at what's going on at home? Are there problems? Are there issues? Those are all things that can be fixed. Amen. We can fix those things. Those are minor obstacles. Now, sometimes there'll be major issues in our lives that may consume our minds just a little bit. But again, we still come here and we get relief in this house. Whatever it is that would affect what's going on right here, from having you enjoy being in God's house, I pray that you remove it. Get rid of it. Because again, it's not just a matter of having your face seen. It's not just about people knowing what kind of a person you are. This is about you visiting the Father's house. Why do you go to your parents' house to see them? Why do you go to your kids' house to see them, to be in their presence, to just experience them for a little bit? We have the same right here, both with each other and with the Father. We ought to love the Lord so much that the idea of skipping for flippant reasons would just boggle our minds. That we would have that desire to commune with Him. I've not often been in a room where everybody was a professional singer. And you know what? When it comes down to church, that doesn't bother me. I hope it doesn't bother you either. But just that we would sing together. That's really so important. So simple, but so important. That we would sing together. That we would enjoy together. That we would pray together. That you would share the things that you need prayer for. That you would pray for the things as well that I have to pray for. That's an important thing. Folks, as we grow close to the Lord, our desire to be inseparable from Him will grow. And folks, that ought to be a goal in our lives. Again, not just a hang your hat on it cliche spiritual life, but a real gripping relationship between you and God. That is what our attendance here ought to help further. Again, just what's going on between me and the Father. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. We love the sacrifice. We love that He dwells within our hearts. But folks, we have that all the time. Again, not just in this house. We have that everywhere we go and in everything we do. But folks, we got to enjoy it. We got to work on it. We got to build with it. Being in the Lord's house, being a part of His service, being a part of our worship together ought to be a fundamental part of your everyday life. There was a time in Flat Rock where we sat at home. We watched it on the internet. And we found a way of putting it on the TV, and I quickly realized the dangers of kids and couches and expecting them to pay attention in church. So we had it at the kitchen table. And I tell you what, while I appreciate all the effort that went into it, I was miserable. I really was. I was miserable. Why? Because I desired to be with God's people. It's not about being able to do the different ministries that I was doing. You know, I missed those things too, but I missed God's people. There's something sad that happens when church members become strangers. That's sad. You know, you go 2 or 3 months and you haven't seen brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, and you get to missing them. Why? Because that's what we do. We knit together, don't we? It's kind of grow into each other. But folks, as much as important as it is for you and me to see each other and to know each other, the number one reason to be in the house of the Lord is for the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, this place would not be the same without You. That's an understatement, isn't it? Lord, we know this, that we belong to You. We belong, Lord, in this house. And Father, I understand there are some who are being cautious. I pray You keep them safe out the parking lot. Father, we count them too in being here today, of course. But Lord, we just ask this, that You help us to never forget that all of this is for You. It's what we do for You. It's what we do together to tell You how much You mean to us. Father, we're here so that You may affect us through Your preaching and the teaching of Your word. Lord, this is all about You. Help us to never forget. And Lord, help our service, our praise, and our worship be, well, Lord, be well received in Your heart for what it is. Lord, we want to be grateful. We want to show that gratitude to You. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.